Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully, so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and this is On Point. Last-minute holiday shopping time. If you ordered online, you might be worrying about whether your package will arrive on time. But you're not necessarily thinking about who is delivering it. Enter Amazon Flex. The e-retail behemoth employs an army of independent contractors to deliver those packages. The company promises flexibility and the opportunity to be your own boss for their drivers. But workers don't get benefits. So who exactly does this program work for? It's a familiar, unresolved tension across the gig economy. This hour on Point, Amazon, independent contractors, and the future of work. You can join us on air or online. Are you an Amazon Flex courier or an independent contractor as a whole in the gig economy? Do you need the work this holiday season? How has it been working out for you? Do you enjoy the opportunity to be your own boss, as Amazon says? Or are there drawbacks? Well, joining me now from New York is Brian Menegas. He's a senior reporter for Gizmodo. You can find a link to his piece headlined Amazon's Last Mile. The link is at our website, onpointradio.org. Brian, welcome to On Point.
Hi, Meghna. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. Okay, so Amazon Flex in about 50 cities across the country right now. Is that right?
About 50 cities across the country, as well as, I believe, in the UK.
Okay. So how exactly does it work? Because I think maybe a lot of people listening have suddenly seen these people who aren't necessarily in uniforms, but delivering their Amazon packages.
Yeah. So when Amazon decides that it wants to roll out the program in one of its facilities, they'll carpet bomb, you know, Craigslist and other sort of job sites like that with these ads that, like you said, promise to be your own boss, give sort of a rough estimate of what kind of wages you can expect. And then they sign up for this kind of Uber-like platform where they're all competing to try to grab a shift and deliver those packages.
Mm. Well, we have a little bit of tape here from Amazon itself. This is Dave Clark, Amazon's Senior Vice President of Worldwide Operations, demonstrating how the Amazon Flex app works. This is a 2015 video from the Wall Street Journal. And Clark says it takes about 48 hours before folks who sign up to be couriers through the app, they go through a background check, and he says it's 48 hours or so before that background check is completed. And then Clark goes on to explain how the service works.
So you click, you want to start the delivery. When you get into the app, you have choices of pickup times and delivery slots. So you can select when you want to pick up, and you can select for how long you want to deliver. Those boxes you see on the map are delivery areas. So you also can choose where you want to deliver during the course of time.
Okay, so that's Dave Clark from Amazon in 2015. We've got a statement here also from Amazon, Brian, and they say, Amazon Flex offers great earnings, flexible hours, and the opportunity to be your own boss. Drivers love earning $18 to $25 per hour delivering to Amazon customers, and we received overwhelming positive response from drivers participating in the program. That's part of Amazon's statement. We've got the full statement at onpointradio.org. But, Brian, I guess what I'm saying is, it sounds great. What's the problem?
Well, there's a few things. So for starters, I think the 48 hours is maybe not entirely accurate. It's maybe a median. Some of the drivers that we spoke to said they were verified within a couple of hours. Others wait around for over a month. So there's always a little bit of wiggle room with whatever's happening in these statements. The second thing is that although on paper those wages sound very good for the job that's being done, they're also fairly competitive with other gig economy type jobs. You're still looking at a form of employment where all of the liabilities, all of the extraneous costs of the job are passed on to the worker rather than covered by the employer.
Right. So let's talk about that for a second, because that's at the crux of a lot of contention over gig economy employment. So when you say all the liabilities, you mean everything from the cost of owning the car, the fuel, the time. Do they get workers' comp of any kind?
That's something that Amazon confirmed that individual workers would have to sign up for on their own.
I see. Okay. And so basically all the employees get actually, I'm not even sure I can call them employees. All these independent contractors get for working for Amazon Flex is the ability to choose when and where they want to work and the hourly wages then.
Well, I mean, the wages also kind of vary. It's similar to Uber in that you know, where Uber will have surge pricing, the rates that people are working at stay fairly consistent unless there's an increase in demand, in which case Amazon will start to ramp up the potential wage.
Mm. Well, so but getting back to the workers holding all the liability, tell us more about that. I mean, what did you find specifically in the case of Amazon Flex?
Well, there's no workman's comp that comes with it. There's no health care that comes with it. Getting, you know, insurance for a commercial vehicle is prohibitively expensive for most people that are only going to be working a couple of hours a week doing this. So the flex contract in many locations, I believe, has rolled into it this, you know, commercial liabilities contract that is only covering people during the hours they're working. So, you know, if they work slightly longer to finish their route and they get into an accident, they may not be covered. There's just a lot of unusual problems legally and financially that come with the gig economy that don't seem to really be addressed in any detail in the training that these workers get.
Okay. And what about the actual sort of guidance or control that Amazon has in as the couriers are doing the work, right? I mean, how does it work? Where do they go to pick up the packages and how do they know what homes to take the packages to?
Sure. So the drivers will, for the most part, have one Amazon facility that'll be kind of their home base. Some people work out of more than one if they're near enough to them. But they'll go to that facility, and that's where they'll pick up their route's worth of packages. They'll load up their car. Usually they'll try to load it kind of in reverse order so that the stuff that's nearest to the end of the route is the most crammed in the back of their car. And then the actual Uber Flex app will be running on their phone while they deliver.
Amazon
Flex. So that will tell them, yes.
Yeah.
So that will not only tell them which houses and in which order and which packages are supposed to go to them, but will also route navigation to them.
Mm. Okay. And do the drivers have to follow that route? I mean, how closely is Amazon actually monitoring what the drivers are doing?
So they're not compelled to. By any means, I think a lot of drivers actually, sort of similar to Uber, will install Waze on their phone and use that to route perhaps more efficient navigation. But the copies of the Flex driver contract that Gizmodo obtained did say that Amazon is tracking various sort of metrics from these drivers, which might include GPS location.
Okay. And you see why I'm asking that, right? Because one of the key questions here is, you know, in the gig economy, whenever companies like Amazon hire vast numbers of independent contractors, where's the line between them being full employees versus independent contractors? And it seems that one of the sticking points is how much control does the company, in this case Amazon, have over the actual work, right?
Yes. And in the case of Flex, it seems to be kind of a lot. A lot of independent contractors, it's sort of non-continuous work where you have something that needs to get done and whoever you're doing the work for doesn't necessarily care how it gets done, sort of nuts and bolts as long as it gets done. Whereas what we're seeing with Flex is, although some people do kind of churn through it, some of the drivers I spoke to had been there for a year and a half, 2 years, and Amazon is telling them exactly when to show up, exactly what to deliver, where and when.
Hmm, interesting. Now, you were able to speak with drivers. Were any of – it didn't seem as if any of them were willing to speak with you on the record.
No. I mean, I think most of them were rather frightened about the prospect of retaliation on Amazon's part. And additionally, I mean, part of the Flex program includes Amazon contracting local courier companies. And they especially seemed nervous about losing contracts with Amazon for speaking out.
Okay, so tell us more about that, because that was a part of sort of the Amazon entrance into the gig economy that I found really eye-opening, right? Because these larger courier companies, the white van man that you were talking about in the piece,
yes.
Amazon, when contracting with them, has the ability to influence what drivers the courier company uses and how those drivers actually do the work. So, where's the independence here for the contracting firm?
Yeah, I mean, that was what we had heard from some of the people that were working at or owning these companies was that, individual facility bosses, managers, whatever, had sort of sly ways of saying, this guy can't be in here, or we don't want that guy, or he's underperforming, you have to get rid of him. They can also, it seems, turn off the Flex app for specific drivers, meaning if your local courier company relies on Amazon Flex to do all of its routes and that driver just got deactivated, well, functionally, they're fired now.
And how unusual is that?
What you mean, how frequently does that happen, or how odd is that in terms of the gig economy?
Or? You know what? You're right. The question can be applied to both areas that you clarified there. So let me just start with the first one. How frequently does it happen? How frequently are Amazon booting the drivers off Amazon Flex?
Well, like I said, a lot of the courier companies were extremely reticent to talk. So from the kind of limited sample size that we were able to work with, it seems to have only happened a handful of times. What was more frequent and also seems to be something of an overstep within, Amazon treating these people as independent contractors is that, as you mentioned from that clip of an Amazon executive explaining the program, they use background checks. And with regards to these independent contractor companies, they are having to send those drivers through that background check company that Amazon chooses.
Hmm. Well, we are talking about Amazon Flex and Amazon's big entrance into the gig economy. I'm speaking with Brian Menegas, senior reporter for Gizmodo. He's written about this recently for Gizmodo. We've got a link to his article at our website, onpointradio.org. And as we head into the break here, I just want to play a little bit of tape from one Amazon Flex driver. This is Luke Ducklow. He's been driving for a little over a year. He described the 2016 holiday rush on his YouTube channel back in September.
Right around Christmas time last year, leading up to it, this job was fantastic. I mean, they were giving out shifts that were paying like $30 an hour. You'd pick up a four-hour block and it'd be $120. That was awesome.
There's one Amazon Flex employee who likes it. What about you? I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.
Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Chances are you're confident when it comes to your work, your hobbies, and your life. Rocket Mortgage gives you that same level of confidence when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. Rocket Mortgage is simple, allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS consumeraccess.org, number 3030.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're talking about Amazon Flex and the big picture and the future for workers in the gig economy. Now, we reached out to Amazon for comment, and they sent us a statement in return. The statement includes the words, Amazon Flex offers great earnings, flexible hours, and the opportunity to be your own boss. We've received overwhelmingly positive response from drivers participating in the program. We've got the full text of Amazon's statement at our website, onpointradio.org. You can join the conversation. What do you think about the independent contractor classification? Is it working for you if you're in the gig economy? Do you enjoy being your own boss, or do you see a downside to this? As our guest Brian Menegas was telling us earlier, you may get all better pay, but you also hold all the liability. Is that a problem? And as I said, we're joined by Brian Menegas. He's a senior reporter for Gizmodo. He's written extensively about Amazon Flex. Let's actually just take a quick call here because we've got a lot of folks who want to have their say. Mark is calling from Racine, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Mark.
Hi, Meghna.
Hi, what's your thought?
How are you? Well, I'm an employee of a FedEx independent contractor. This gentleman owns multiple routes of FedEx. I think your Amazon model is the next phase. But also with my job, there are no benefits. There is vacation 1 week after a year, but there's no health insurance at all. Now, for me, that's okay because my wife has health insurance, but I see other employees out there who don't have it, and they're just hoping that they don't get sick or they don't have anything go wrong.
I see.
You know, you also have what I find is interesting. I'm sure this is, you know, the Amazon model is different, but in that same vein, like, for instance, I was doing until recently about 60 to 70 packages stops, I should say stops per day. Packages might be more. At the holidays, all of a sudden it went from 70 to 90 or 100, and you're working more hours. Well, I was on a salary, and I looked at my boss, and I said, well, how do we make more money during the holidays? And they said, well, you have a baseline. Mine was 70. Everything above and beyond that is commission. And I said, how much per package? And he's like, well, I have to get back to you on that.
Right, right. Mark, forgive me for interrupting you, but you're asking a really interesting question about sort of how this variable pay works at Amazon. And I also wanted to not forget your larger point about things like healthcare. So thank you so much for your call. But Brian, I mean, let me ask you about what Mark was talking about on, I guess, you know, the equivalent of, as you were saying earlier, like, is there a surge pricing model at Amazon around the holidays? Because you also wrote in your Gizmodo article how Amazon's been capping folks at 40 hours.
Yeah, a couple of folks that we spoke to did say that they were artificially capping the hours, I assume, to make sure that they did not have to be responsible for overtime pay. As far as I know so far, it's not so much that there is some sort of a bonus or a surge price for the holidays specifically as there's just more work. And they're actually some of the groups that I've been in on Facebook, the kind of closed groups where these drivers meet, were discussing the fact that similar to Amazon warehouses where there's a big hiring spree around the holidays just to make sure that they're never shorthanded. The same thing was kind of happening with Flex, where they had hired so many people that it had actually made it hard for some people to find shifts.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've got a comment here from a listener on Facebook. Carol Gibbons writes, supply and demand. If people are willing to work for a certain pay, then they should be allowed to get that job with that pay. Everybody is exploited in some way. Both buyer and seller are exploited if we really get down to it. She says, as long as the independent contractor is not making a loss or does something illegal, then I don't think we have the right to assume they are being exploited. That's just my opinion. Well, let's get another view here. We're joined now by Vina Dubal. She's a professor of law at the University of California Hastings College of Law, and she joins us from San Francisco. Welcome to On Point, Vina.
Hi, Magna. Great to join you.
So what's your take here? I mean, you just heard me read that comment from listener Carol Gibbons, who says as long as, you know, people get what they, you know, their earned pay, she has no problem with how the gig economy works or how Amazon Flex is treating its employees.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that there are two things going on here with Amazon Flex and with the gig economy more generally. One is what's reflected in that Facebook comment, which is, I think, an ideological commitment to a certain theory of the market. And you see that reflected in how courts have looked at these sort of misclassification cases. You see that in public comment, and I think you actually really see that in the companies themselves. I think that there is something going on here where companies like Uber and Amazon really think that they're providing freedom and flexibility. But when you talk to the workers, as Brian points out, there's kind of a different story going on there. And the second thing that I think that we see with the gig economy, in addition to this ideological component, you know, of a particular economic theory, is just ruthlessness of profit maximization and monopoly creation at all costs. One of the things that Brian pointed out is that Amazon is capping their hours at 40 hours per week, or they may be doing that. That is an acknowledgement of future misclassification lawsuits, right? Mm. if they are found to be employees, which they are very likely to be found under certain state laws, then they don't want to have to deal with overtime pay.
Well, you say they're very likely to be found as employees under certain state laws, but they haven't yet, though. I'm not sure if I'm familiar with a case where the misclassification issue has been fully resolved in favor of independent contractors being reclassified as employees.
So there are a few ways that can happen. The most likely way that that would happen is through a lawsuit where a private plaintiff's attorney files a class action and the issue is resolved by the court. Unfortunately, Amazon and a lot of these companies, including Uber, have arbitration agreements, mandatory arbitration agreements in their contracts with their workers, which prohibits any kind of class action. So they've really kind of insulated themselves from that kind of liability.
Well, that may change, right? Because the Supreme Court is taking up an arbitration case in this term.
It's very unlikely to change, unfortunately, with the current composition of the Supreme Court. But the Supreme Court is looking at whether or not those mandatory arbitration agreements are a violation of collective bargaining rights, whether they are violating the rights of workers to act collectively together. But the other thing that you said you weren't familiar with the case in which this had actually happened, ironically, and your earlier FedEx driver caller spoke to this. This happened with FedEx, and in many ways, FedEx was a deviation from the original UPS good job union model of a delivery worker. FedEx, I think, in the 1990s, created this model of delivery that Amazon Flex is now building upon, in which you have had all these independent contractors who had to buy their routes, who were told where to go and how to deliver their packages, and they were found by the Ninth Circuit in a very famous case called Alexander v. FedEx to be employees of the company. But in response to that, what FedEx did was, instead of turning them into employees, they made them look more like independent contractors. So they said, look, if you're going to work for us, you have to be an independent service provider. You have to have X number of routes. And so most of the people, those workers who were plaintiffs in that case, now don't drive anymore because they are employers of their workers. So the named worker in that case actually, amazingly, doesn't have health insurance. He has these workers who work under him who are on public benefits.
Yeah.
It creates this really precarious situation for everyone. And I think Amazon Flex is, as your caller stated, the next generation of this.
Well, I want to get a couple more callers in here and then welcome another voice into the conversation. But before we do that, I should fully disclose, Vina Dubal, that your husband is employed by a research and development hardware company that's a subsidiary of Amazon, but that for the sake of full disclosure. Let's turn to Eric, who's calling from Atlanta, Georgia. You're on the air, Eric.
Hi, Magna. Yes, I just wanted to piggyback off some of the things that were being said. One of the things that actually happens here in Atlanta, I'm a Flex driver myself, is that it's a little bit complicated to actually get blocks to fulfill the deliveries. So here in Atlanta, it's about $18 an hour, $36 for 2 hours. Initially, when the program first started here in Atlanta 3 years ago, I was a part of the original onboarding for independent contractors where they only did they only did 2 hour blocks. Since then, they've kind of modified and adjusted some of their rules. So for those of us who started in the beginning, it was much easier. It was much more robust of a process. It was less drivers as well. Now, there are less routes available. You have to tap on your phone incessantly to see if blocks are available.
So you're spending a lot of time.
Yeah, you spend more time actually trying to obtain blocks than actually doing them. So it can be a catch-22. However, it does, the pay is better than any of the other people in this space using independent service people to fulfill needs like Amazon does. Like Uber Eats, Amazon also delivers food.
Hey, Eric, let me just jump in here. One quick question, and then I want to turn what you were saying back to Brian Menegas. But Eric, just flat out, would you prefer to be seen as an employee of Amazon, or do you like being considered an independent contractor? How is it working for you?
Well, so there's a few drawbacks to So it's a catch 22. I wouldn't mind either one. I think it just needs to be consistent. As an independent contractor, we don't have access to a direct line. There's no supervisor. Everything is done through email. So if you have any problem, you send an email, and then there's an automated generated response that responds to you about any of your issues.
Right.
And you can only contact Amazon during your block.
So to bigger points, and sorry, to I don't mean to interrogate you here, Eric, but you're right there doing this job. How do you get your health care?
So that you have to actually purchase that yourself on your own.
You're buying your own health care.
You have to purchase your own health care.
Are you able to save for retirement? Do you, workman's comp, all that stuff?
So before, like I said, it was much more robust. I was able to make closer to $30,000, actually a little bit more over the past year. Now this year alone, it's cut back tremendously. So they don't pay as much. They found ways around not honoring their initial agreement of saying it would be $36 minimum, and you would always have 2 hours to do routes. Now they find different ways. Had at one point having us do full routes with only paying us for an hour and a half. So
Erica, got it. And I'm sorry to cut you off there. I didn't mean to, but you've given us a ton to think about. And thank you so much for your call. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point. Brian Menegas, come back in here. Eric was absolutely fascinating. He's doing this job right now, talking about how much just in the year or so that he's been doing it, it's changed and become, less lucrative for him as an independent contractor.
Yeah, that's something that that I'd heard from a lot of people who'd been doing this job for a little while. They would say that it's gotten much more competitive to get blocks. It's harder to secure work. The pay might not even be as good. They also give out something where blocks are sort of guaranteed to some people, and it seems like that may have scaled back somewhat. It's also led to a rise in now Amazon kind of trying to enforce it in some way of people using kind of other applications that tap on their phone for them automatically, just so that they can get ahead and not have to spend all day tapping their phone just to try to make a couple of bucks.
Yeah. Vina Dubal, do you have a quick thought on what you hear from Eric's personal experience as using the app and being an independent contractor with Amazon has changed for him?
Yeah. So one of the things that I study is how drivers feel about their work in the gig economy. And one of the things I've realized over time is that while a lot of drivers say that they want to be independent contractors, if you talk to them because they love the freedom and flexibility, if you talk to them over a period of time, you realize that the reason that they want to have flexible work is because they are victims of other pathologies in the economy, which is just-in-time or on-call scheduling. So their other work, their main work, in which they might be an employee, they are getting their hours 1 week ahead of time or the day before, and they need this work to supplement that work.
Right.
So it's not so much that this is, so great and awesome and they're making so much money. It's that they want to be an independent contractor so that they maintain the ability to supplement that work. But it sounds like in the previous caller's case that is even becoming more impossible, at least with the case of Amazon, where you have so much work and so many workers, and it's much more difficult to even get those hours. And, of course, those hours are going to decrease over time. That's what Uber did at the beginning. They said to all of their drivers, look, you're going to make this much money. It's going to be awesome. But demand is finite.
Right. So, Vina, let me just jump in here because you're providing me the perfect pivot to bring in one more voice into this conversation. He is Arun Sundarajan. He's a professor of business at New York University and author of The Sharing Economy, The End of Employment and the Rise of Crowd-Based Capitalism. Welcome to On Point, Arun.
Good to be here, Meghna.
So you've been hearing a lot of concerns. We just got a minute or so before the break, and I'll come back to you after the break. But you've been hearing a lot of concerns that Vina and some of the callers have about how the gig economy, Amazon Flex, works. You're more bullish about this form of work. Why?
Well, I think that it's going to be more prevalent in the economy over the coming decade or two. I don't dispute. I mean, I really enjoyed Brian's piece, and Veena makes some really good points about the broader factors that are leading to precarious work for more and more people. But I think that we're blaming the wrong parties when we have these workers who don't have, like, you know, sort of that universally desired set of stability, safety, these things that are sort of basic human aspirations. And after the break, I can sort of get into more details. But we've got a safety net right now that depends excessively on one form of work, mm-hmm. full-time employment. Its funding model is built around the idea that everybody is a full-time employee. And so you end up with people like Eric, who doesn't want to be a full-time employee, but probably wants all the good things that go with being a full-time employee. And what I've been recommending for a few years is that we decouple those good things, those basic, like, you know, health insurance, benefits,
right.
workers' compensation, vacations, income stability, from this one model of full-time employment that dominated the 20th century.
Well, let's pick that up after the break. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point. This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're talking about Amazon Flex and the gig economy. And honestly, we've been here before. Uber's had a lot of press on it about how it treats or doesn't treat its workers or independent contractors. But when Amazon enters a space, people pay attention. So that's why we're having this conversation. Do you see independent contractors as the future of the workforce? And what do you think that means for employees? We're joined today by Brian Menegas, senior reporter for Gizmodo, who's written extensively about Amazon Flex. We've got a link to his terrific article at our website, onpointradio.org. We've also got Veena Dubal, who's a professor of law at the University of California Hastings College of Law. She joins us from San Francisco. And Arun Sundarajan, professor of business at New York University, who's author of The Sharing Economy. Now, Arun, just before the break, you were talking about sort of a fundamental disconnect in the safety net and the old versus the new structure of the economy. And I just wanted to read a comment from our website to that point. A listener who calls themselves Gerald F. Nord said, exploitation is best understood in context. When people work in these conditions, it's for lack of better conditions in which to work for the same remuneration or knowledge of them. That does not mean they're not being exploited. It means that the problem is larger than Amazon. Now, isn't that exactly the point, that right now we may be in this inflection point in the economy? And as you were saying, the old models that hold up our safety net are not in line with the new models of work. But until we change the models, we've got a lot of people stuck in the middle, and what are they going to do?
I think that progress is going to have to be incremental. You're absolutely right, Meghna. I mean, you know, I think if we point to this being an ideological issue with the profit-maximizing platforms, or if we get into the nitty-gritty of misclassification, I mean, I understand, where to go. Like, you know, people being told where to go sounds like direction, but that's a bit of a red herring. I mean, people who drive their own cars on their own, you know, commuting are told where to go by their GPS system. And so this is...
I mean, is it really a red herring? Because I was thinking, for example, say you're writing a scholarly paper and you're told what sources to reference and what order to put the paragraphs in, what journal to publish it in, and what headline or what to call the title of the paper. I mean, how much independence do you have? Isn't that the white collar analogy?
It's an attractive analogy, Meghna, but we're talking about a different technology here. Everyone, whether independent or not, is using GPS systems that tell them where to go when they're going from one place to another. So we're mixing up independence and technological efficiency. But returning to the broader point, I really think that one of the big public policy challenges over the next couple of decades, as I discuss in my book, is coming up with a new funding model in the United States, in the UK. I was in Japan last week. They're facing the same problem, where we get away from this idea that the corporation is responsible, the employer is responsible for a bulk of the safety net, and we come up with alternative ways, because honestly, in a couple of decades, a majority of the workforce is not going to be full-time employees. Almost all of the work growth over the last 15 years has come in the form of non-employment work arrangements, mm-hmm. not in the form of full-time employment. So we're already down that path. path.
Yeah.
And it's really up to us, up to Congress, up to the Senate, up to state governments, up to local governments to come up with ways for extending, like, you know, these universal human aspirations. I mean, 100 years ago, full-time employees were not protected either. If you've read The Jungle by Upton Sinclair, you can see what sort of horrific conditions full-time employees
used to be faced with. Well, let's hope we don't have to go back to that in order to have another...
No, I'm saying that we spent 100 years sort of building the safety net. We just built it for a model of work, full-time employment, that is on its way out. And so we have to rebuild it for this new model of work.
So,
and, you know, we miss the point if we just blame the employer or try and classify everybody as employees.
Okay, I want to bring Veena Dubal back in here because, Veena, you've been hearing everything Arun has been saying. And to a certain degree, I mean, he's absolutely right. There has to be sort of a... You were talking about the pathologies in the workplace, that there has to be a long-term sort of 30,000-foot transformation in how we structure the safety net in the United States. But on the other hand, I mean... What do you make of him saying we can't be blaming employers now for how they choose to classify employees?
Right. So two things. One comment I just briefly want to make is I think that there's some misunderstanding about how about how the law defines who an employee is, although it sometimes is about control, or the majority of the time it is about control. In 12 states, including California, the definition, and most states are moving towards this, is if work is a core component of the principal's business, then that person is an employee. And I think it's hard to argue that what those Amazon Flex drivers do is not a core component of Amazon's business. Without them, there would be no Amazon.
Point taken. But as you heard Arun say, he believes that focusing on things like employee classification,
right,
the nitty-gritty, as he said, is missing the point.
Useless. Right. I think in some ways that's right. But I think that where Arun and I disagree is that I don't think that the laws that we have right now were built for full-time employees. I think that they created full-time employees. So prior to the Great Depression, prior to the New Deal, prior to, you know, the Fair Labor Standards Act, we had people working 60, 70, 80, 90 hours a week at the whim and whimsy of their employer. And so what these regulations did was create about 50 to 60 years of really positive full-time employment that we understand now to sort of be naturalized as the ideal model of employment. So it's not that those regulations were built because that's what work looked like. They were built to create that kind of work. And what we have now are employers like Amazon, like Uber, like FedEx that have done everything they can to undermine those regulations, to get out from underneath them, and to create this kind of work. And we might say, oh, well, what more can you expect? Of course, companies are out to make money, but that doesn't mean that we can't hold them accountable for trying to evade these laws and these regulations. And while it might take, you know, 50, 60 years for us to get portable benefits, in the meantime, let's hold them accountable.
Well, we've got a lot of folks who want to have their say about this, who are living this life right now. They've got a whole variety of opinions. Let's go to Alberto, who's calling from Cambridge, Massachusetts. You're on the air.
Hi, Magna. Thanks for taking my call.
What's your thought today?
Well, I have a bit of a different take. I'm a freelance writer and editorial consultant, and no one is holding a gun to these folks' heads to either work for Amazon or Uber. You know, if you don't like the work, find other work. You know, I like the freedom that freelancing gives me. You know, am I going to make $1 million a year? No. But there's actually times when I turn down work because I don't like the conditions that my prospective client is offering. So I would say the same thing to folks that, you know, are having a hard time with Amazon or Uber. Improve your skill set, and it's your life. It's your responsibility.
Alberto, thank you so much for your call. Let's get another one. Jim is calling from Tampa, Florida. You're on the air, Jim.
Hi, Magna. I completely agree with Alberto. We signed up for this program knowing what we were getting into and what the parameters were. A lot of the dissatisfaction comes from attitudes that don't transfer to the IC, you know, life. They're looking for more structure, or looking for more permanence and the like. So if you look at it for what it is, which was always said to be a part-time, you know, opportunity to make extra money, it is absolutely great.
Mm.
One of the things that I do see is that the situation changes where Amazon is now bringing in more fleets of contracted drivers. So it's another layer away from that employer relationship.
Hey, Jim, so let me just ask you a quick question there, because you were saying earlier that you kind of know what you're going into when you sign up to work through Amazon Flex. But if they're constantly changing things and bringing on, you know, new groups, as you were talking about, you know, how is that the same of knowing what you're getting into if it's constantly changing? Isn't that a problem?
Well, the promise was to be able to pick up some work when it was available and you were available.
I see.
There was a two-prong part there. So the fact that on the logistics side, which is not the prime now, which is the 1 hour and 2 hour same-day delivery, on the logistics side is where they're increasing these van drivers and taking therefore it's cutting some of the routes and the availability.
Jim, I'm going to take it back from you there, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but you know, Brian Menegas, who's written extensively about Amazon Flex, I just want to get his view on what Jim was saying. Brian, I mean, it didn't seem as if Jim had a problem with the fact that, as you've written in your article, Amazon sort of has changed the terms several times in terms of what's available to two drivers. He didn't seem to have a problem with that. Is that representative of the folks that you spoke to?
It's not representative of most of the folks that I spoke to. But again, I spoke to a handful of people out of a program that we actually don't even know how many people are enrolled in, because Amazon refused to produce those numbers. What I do think is interesting, and that other folks had brought up, was that at some facilities, you know, it seems they sort of turn up the dials or turn down the dials on what the balance of flex drivers to independent contractors are. And I find it odd that Amazon is starting to rely more in some places on these independent contractor companies, because those also kind of got Amazon into a bit of hot water in 2015 and 2016. A company called Scoobies and another one called Courier Logistics Services. Amazon was named as a co-defendant in two lawsuits that about employee misclassification, you know, failure to pay overtime, just horrendous working conditions.
Right. So they've been there before. Interesting. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point. Let's get another call here. Zach is calling from Boston, Massachusetts. You're on the air, Zach.
Hi, Meghna. Thank you for taking my call. I do drive for Uber full-time, and I signed up for Amazon Flex this year. The difference is that when I'm leaving my house in Boston, I turn on the app before I go down the stairs. So by the time I get in the car, I already have a hit to go pick up somebody. With Amazon, I had to drive to the location where I pick up the block, either in Everett or in Dedham, and the time that I have to drive to the location varies between rush hours and non-rush hours. The problem with Amazon is that when you get there, it could take you up to about 2 hours to get the deliveries in your car.
And you don't get paid for that time. Right. Zach, I'm going to take it back from you, because we're really running down on time here, and I'm very sorry to have to interrupt. But Arun Sundarajan, let me just turn back to you based on what Zach was saying, because I get the sense that where he was headed was that you don't actually, first of all, he said you don't get paid for all the time that you spend, you know, working through the app to begin with. But also, it seems like there's a ton of competition. And so this is really, you know, it's a market in which Amazon can take its pick in terms of the price that they set for how much they pay. Now, I get it. That's basic economics. But doesn't that also open the door to what some other listeners have been saying seems like a form of exploitation?
Well, there is a lot of variety in sort of the structure of these different, like, you know, what are called gig economy things. Amazon's clearly different from Uber. Uber's different from TaskRabbit and Instacart. But I think what Zach is pointing to is this broader point, and I think where you're going, Meghna, is that we've had 40 years of sort of neoliberalism where the power structure in the economy has shifted away from the individual and towards, like, you know, sort of the large institution. If we preserve, like, you know, this particular structure, we're not going to be able to provide adequately a safety net for our workforce in the future. This is why I don't like the focus on worker classification, employees versus independent contractors. I think that there's a broader structural change that's needed. I mean, we've got automation sort of threatening to lower wages. We've got these new work arrangements. And so we need to sort of start thinking about how do we go back to a system that gives the individual a little more agency.
Right.
That, you know, actually allows the individual to, like, you know, bargain for a higher wage if they're spending 6 hours rather than 3 hours.
Right. Point. We just have about a minute and a half left, and forgive me. I know people are probably wondering why I'm talking all over the guest today, but my apologies. The clock is my ultimate overseer here. But I just wanted to give you one last chance here for a quick thought, because the long view is one thing, and I think there's kind of some consensus here. But in the immediate term, also, we still have people who, some people like the freedom and they know what they're getting into, but other people find themselves being maybe trapped in it in the form of a gig economy where they can't make ends meet and don't have a safety net. So, you know, in the 30 seconds that we have, what do we do in the here and now?
Well, let me just say that this work disproportionately impacts people who are carved out of full-time wage labor, which are mostly people of color and immigrants. A lot of people aren't choosing to do this job. A lot of people are forced into it to put money on the table. And I think what we can do in the immediate sense while we're waiting for universal basic income is put pressure on these companies to do the right thing. You wouldn't put a child in your basement and force them to sew your clothes, but you buy from, you know, a company that uses that kind of manufacturing labor.
Yeah.
And we really need to think critically about how our things get to us and whether it's okay that someone is exploited to give us what we want as consumers.
Well, you've all given us a great deal to think about. So let me thank you, Veena Dubal, Professor of Law at the University of California, Hastings College of Law. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Meghna.
And Arun Sundarajan, Professor of Business at New York University and author of The Sharing Economy. Real pleasure to speak with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Meghna. And always a pleasure to be on.
Absolutely. And Brian Menegas, senior reporter for Gizmodo. Excellent story. We've got a link to it at our website, onpointradio.org. Thank you so much, Brian.
Thanks kindly, Meghna. It's been great.
Coming up tomorrow, Views on Sex have created a new fissure in Christianity. We'll talk with clergy on both sides of that fissure. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.